We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Closer to my mouth, so I hope it doesn't. I hope it's not too loud. But you look, this is how we find out. This is how we learn.
That's it. Trial and error since 2012.
Mm-hmm. 2012. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I actually think the first time we recorded was the summer of 2012. All right, if you can Jesus. Remember.
We're coming up on a 10 year anniversary.
Yeah, probably. In the next month or so, because it was in the build up to a new season. So
That is sad.
That's it. We've regressed as people and as a podcast. Anyway, I suppose it's topical just because it happened. People, it's like a little bit like Marmite, you know, people either they hate it or they love it. But Eurovision happened. Did anyone watch it?
I watched some of it.
Yeah,
it was shite.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a Eurovision in since I was a kid, since I was about 12, I'd say.
Yeah, I really don't get the appeal at all. But
yeah,
the music, like, to my ears, the music is complete shite. Like complete shite. Like the last thing in the world I would ever want to listen to. And even the best Eurovision songs. Like the ones that aren't just generic Europop shite, they're shite too.
Yeah. There was a point where the Eurovision became so bad, just so standard, like every song was the exact same kind of song, and then there was a key change at the end, and it just became shit. And then there was this kind of move away to like starting to take the piss out of it, like when Lordi won it. Remember that rock
band?
Yeah. When they won it, and it was a bit of a like fuck you to like mainstream shitty music, and it was like, yeah, this is a bit cool. And then people started coming in, like there was a song called like We Are Going to Win the Eurovision. I don't know if you remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just taking the piss. And like, I know it wasn't done ironically, but we sent like Dustin the Turk. So there was a point where it felt like no one was taking it seriously anymore. And now it's like everyone is taking it seriously again. And everyone's forgotten that it's actually just shit and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was funny last night. Well, I wasn't watching it, but I saw a few clips. Like I was in and out of it. Germany, I just saw Germany's. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, well, that song actually isn't as bad as all the others. It'll probably do well. And it got 0 points like across the board. And then it was also funny how they split the voting. They actually make a good change this year. Well, I don't know if it's actually this year or if it's been there a while because I don't watch it. But what they do is they go around to the voting. You know, it's like Ireland calling or Dublin calling or whatever. Mm. And they dole out the points. But instead of it being like, we're giving 8 points to Slovakia. We're giving 10 points to Netherlands. They instantly dole out all the points. They go on the board immediately, except for the 12 points, which is the maximum, which is the only one they announce. So it's like Dublin calling, our 12 points go to fucking Israel. Well, not Israel, because they never give Israel 12 points. But, you know, they just say the 1 point. And then that's the judges' scores. So, like, the judges, select judges from each country, give the 12 points. And then after that, the leaderboards are added up, and then they go to the public vote, which the hosts announce. Like, the hosts just read out how many points the public gave a country, one by one. Like, Switzerland got 200 points altogether in the public vote. And it was much better and faster and more interesting than spending like 5 hours waiting for like fellas from Estonia to say they gave fellas from Lithuania 8 points or something. That was a good change.
Yeah.
And do they
competition
still have,
I don't watch.
Do they still have countries that aren't in Europe, like fucking Australians?
Yeah, Australia's still in it.
Israel.
What's the fucking point in any? No wonder they're like making it quicker, because you're gonna have fucking like 40 or 50 countries then. Like there used to just be what, like 15?
Yeah, it was funny last night. The host was Mika as well, by the way. Do you remember him?
Yeah. Mm.
Grace Kelly was the only hit I can remember. Anyway.
Very high pitched.
Yeah, like Freddie Mercury ripoff, kind of. He said something like, "The whole world and Australia is watching tonight."
Nice.
Yeah.
But that's probably why they made that change. Again, I don't know if it's like a recent thing or it's been happening a while, but from my memories of Eurovision, it was only like the televote, you know, people texting and ringing in to vote for what country. And then it was always just like, you know, they were all shy anyway, but it was the like the former Yugoslavia would vote for each other and they'd all be like 12 points each and shit. And there was so much politics going on in the Eurovision.
Yeah. So I never really bought into that really, because when I would watch it, I didn't see a whole lot of block voting people were always go on about. And if it did happen, it would happen just as much in the Western Europe as it did in Eastern Europe. Sure, fucking Finland, Norway, Sweden, they always give each other 12 points anyway. And my dad was saying, like last night, he saw Azerbaijan come on to give their votes. And he was like, sure, they'll just give fucking Armenia 12 points here. I was like, Azerbaijan and Armenia hate each other. So you're just as likely to find lads in Eastern Europe who hate each other as much as they're like, we'll give them 12 points. And anyway, it makes sense for countries in the same area to like the music from a neighboring country more than the music from a faraway country.
It's true. It's very true.
They have similar
there you go.
Whatever.
Eurovision explained by Conor Flynn.
Yeah, I'm mad at Eurovision now.
But some people are crazy into it. It's like a big thing.
People are. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, but it's the same as I can't imagine people that don't like football. You know, it just doesn't make sense. But maybe that's what they do. They look forward to Eurovision every year.
Jesus Christ.
I think maybe before the internet, it was more of a thing, because it was like all of Europe like connecting on one night, and you were like, seeing like live video of like Paris or something, you're like, this is fucking insane. Like, that person's in Paris right now, I can see them. But now it's just, there's no novelty to it now.
The songs are just so similar. It's a problem for me. If the songs were very different or in different genres, or if you had a bunch of different things going on, I might be interested, because it is still pretty cool for a Europe-wide talent competition, basically, on one night. That's fine. That can be good. But like, every song is the same Euro pop fucking or ballad, and they're all shite. They're all really, really shite.
Yeah. The last banger I remember was Mickey Jo Hart's one. That was fucking...
We Are the World?
Yeah. We've Got the World.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What a fucking bop.
A song I remember maybe 10, 12 years ago was Lena. Satellite. Do you remember that one?
No.
It won for Germany like 12 years ago. And I remember it being good.
No. I just remember the Lordy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
Hard Rock Hallelujah. That's probably the last one I remember.
Did you ever watch that video on like the VH1 or whatever it was, SCUS, the music video channels?
Yeah, because they were like all the outfits and gimmicks they had.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy bit of business. Sorry, Flynn, go on.
I was just thinking there the other day how you don't see many goths around in Ireland anymore. On the topic of Lordy, not really the same thing.
Yeah,
but no. When I was younger, you'd always see big flocks of goths around shopping centers or outside like Paul Street and stuff. And now they've all disappeared. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. I'm just wondering what happened there.
I think I have an explanation for it. I think they grew up. I think they're like, you know how the music trends change. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of music was a bit more prominent. Like, there was a big emo phase, wasn't it?
Did the
like
emos just eat the goths? Like, if they absorbed the goths into emos?
But then those kind of emos got a little bit older, and then they started listening to like you know, more of the, what's his name? MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, and those types, types that kind of do these crossover of like kind of punk, kind of rap. And then they, they've kind of migrated over. So I think that's why I think music has changed for the worst, I might add.
Yeah. But I think there's like, there's always different groups. I mean, like, you know, back in the fucking whatever, 80s, 70s, 80s, there was like punks and stuff. And then it went into, there was whatever. And then we had emos and goths. And now there's like, I don't know, like transgenders or something. Like fucking, you know, another group that we didn't have. And in 10 years' time, there's going to be another group that we didn't have when we were kids. Not to...
You know, that's not a music genre, Adrian, right? You know that.
I know. That's on his iTunes.
Yeah. What do you listen to? Oh, you know, a bit of transgender.
Transgender stuff, yeah.
Maybe yeah, that, genre. Yeah, it's true. Everything comes in a... It's all cyclical, you know, and I think rap music, which seems to be like the more popular, easy to listen to kind of radio stuff now, is on its last legs. And who knows, someone like My Chemical Romance might reign supreme again.
Yeah.
Dark days.
Dark fucking days, all right, yeah. But with the Eurovision now, I was sort of thinking to myself, with that type of voting, you know, where half of it's like performance-based, judged by experts, and the other half by, you know, idiots like ourselves in the general public. If you applied that rule to the football, what would the table look like, I wonder?
I mean, who's the most popular team, is it?
Well, it must be, yeah, because like you'd have Sky Sports creaming themselves over the usual, but then would all of the kind of minority fans like group up together to just vote United bottom, you know, or something like that? I know I would.
Yeah, I think Watford would always be down there anyway.
Yeah. That's, yeah, you're in danger if you're just irrelevant. If you're like, if people don't like you, if they don't hate you, like Watford, like no one cares about Watford. Whereas United, people love and hate United.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Liverpool would be up there, I'd say. They'd get a lot of points.
Yeah, it's just, it's natural for Liverpool to be up there winning things. So,
well, the whole country is behind them, like,
and rightly so.
The whole world in Australia, I'd argue.
It's funny how you said how judges, experts, judges were scoring the Eurovision, and then idiots like us vote or whatever. Sure. To be an expert in the field of Eurovision, you have to be a fucking moron. Like, I'd argue I'm much smarter than anyone who's an expert on Eurovision.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah, I heard a Eurovision expert on the radio the other day, and they were playing, like, the beginnings of clips of songs for him to identify, and he was like, oh, yeah, that was Sweden and... 2013 or something. I was like,
waste of a life.
What a loser. Like, he's going to be on a deathbed someday and realize what a waste his life was.
I hope so. I hope he at least realizes it.
He's probably realized already, but he's gone too far, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. To the point of no return. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was his 15 minutes on fucking News Talk or something.
That's like his ceiling, though. That's as high as he can go with this this hobby or this interest, because he's being asked on national media for his opinion or like to talk about Eurovision. And sure, let's say 7 or 8 people listened to it and gave a shit. And the rest of us are just laughing at him. And that's his peak. Mm-hmm. That's as good as it gets for him.
Well, he's been mentioned on this platform as well, I suppose.
Well, that's it. Success. You know, his peak might be, you know, very, very small, but, you know, compared to the rest of us, I mean, I've never had 15 minutes on News Talk, you know?
Nope.
I don't think it's a good thing to be on News Talk in general.
I like News Talk.
Is that with Pat Kenny?
I don't like Pat Kenny, but I like everyone after him. Yeah, I forget what the guy in the afternoon is, but he's kind of fun. And they have like a parenting bit that's always pretty funny because you're one that takes it so seriously, but it's always something weird like, oh, my 3-year-old son won't stop taking his willy out in public and like slapping it around the place.
Like, yeah, it happened.
Oh, I believe it. We should, probably all did it, to be honest.
I don't trust any doctor who's on the television or the radio giving diagnosis and prognosis from like 10 seconds clips, or like someone calls in, my son has like fucking autism or something, and then he'd be like, well, the thing to do with that is give him a load of fucking bananas. Like,
yeah,
it's always lavender. Have you noticed the cure is like, relax with lavender, bathe in lavender, drink lavender tea.
Yeah, it's that's fucking it. Bollocks.
I once put lavender in a spaghetti bolognese by mistake.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you think it was?
When I was, before I knew how to cook at all, like I was following a recipe. I was trying to cook a spaghetti bolognese from scratch, and I was using this recipe I found online, and still, it's a good recipe. I still use it to this day. But not with the lavender, but it was like rosemary was one of the ingredients. And I was like, okay, we have rosemary in the garden. So I went out to the herb part, like this small patch of some herbs in the garden. And the herb garden was right next to some lavender. And if you ever seen lavender, the leaves look very, very similar to rosemary. Very similar. So I just thought it was rosemary, and I brought it in and chopped it up and put it in bolognese, and I don't think anyone noticed. And I didn't realize until much later when I was in the garden and my mother or something pointed out that that was lavender. And I was like, oh shit, like 2 months ago I put that in food we ate.
They knew, they just didn't say it to you, I'd say.
But I didn't know. Like, I tasted it, I ate it, and I didn't think anything was wrong with it. I thought it was great.
Hey, it's like that thing from Friends when Rachel fucking like mixes up the ingredients.
Yes, no, exactly.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Like, they were all like, "This tastes like feet."
Yeah, you were saying something about the Eurovision guy or the Eurovision experts being idiots. I mean, mods in your
but
face.
I've
look in the mirror, buddy.
My error. Also, I spent about 10 minutes on this, not the better part of my life. And I don't claim this as my fucking skill or my greatest quality.
Fair enough.
Very good.
Yes. All right. Segue from lavender to Liverpool. I guess they both begin with L's, so let's go with that. I mean, that's the best you're going to get. That's but double winners, Liverpool. Adrian, as you rightly called, did drop points against Spurs, but this season is just, I don't know, it's mental, really. City have now dropped points. And where do we stand? Where do Liverpool stand right now?
I haven't really changed my mind. I still think City will win the league. So just today they drew to West Ham. I think if they had lost that game, it was wide open. But they have to like draw or lose their last remaining game, I think, which is just against Villa, and we have to beat Southampton, which is only a couple days away. And then we have to beat Wolves the last day of the season. And there's still a big goal difference. So I still think that's City's to lose. The FA Cup final, fucking hell. I was so stressed. I was watching it by myself, and I think that was worse. I was like shaking after it, like after the penalties and everything. It was really, really bad. Because it should have been like over after like 15 minutes. And then Chelsea played really, really well. Salah went off, which is a fucking disaster. Van Dijk ended up going off, which is a fucking disaster. Fabinho was already injured. Robertson was run into the ground. So by the end of it, it wasn't looking good. It really wasn't looking good. And I suppose it felt like Klopp kind of didn't really give a shit. Like, he was not that he didn't give a shit, but taking off those players when they were saying apparently that they could have played on. It's like he's really gunning for the Champions League final. That's why I'm still hopeful that we'll also win that. So if Fabinho, Salah and Van Dijk are all fit for that, I still think we'll win it. The penalties, Kieran, you actually shared something that you might talk about in a second about how Klopp dealt with that differently to that fucking Eja Tuchel, which I found quite interesting. The other thing about that is he mentioned that he got in, they got in some neuroscientists apparently that said that they can train the players in penalty shootouts. And it kind of reminded me a bit of a few years ago when he brought in like a throw-in specialist and everyone kind of thought it was a bit nuts. But they've won 2 penalty shootouts in a row. I mean, you can say it's luck, but 2 out of 2, the proof is in the pudding. And I think it's just another example of why he's one of the best, if not the best, manager in the world. And 2 trophies out of 2 ain't bad.
Yeah, strongly agree with all of the above. I think it's probably, yeah, it's out of Liverpool's hands now, isn't it? To win the league at this point. But giving it a go. They're giving it a go.
Yeah.
But yeah, the psychology behind that penalty shootout was rather interesting, I thought too. Reminiscent of Southgate's, well, Tuchel's preparation was reminiscent of Southgate's preparation in the Euros, and we all know how that went. But yeah, just to talk a little bit on that, like Klopp's a leader. Do you know what I mean? He just has it naturally, or whether it's really like refined and he practices it, I'm not sure. But he just is the reassurance. You know, he's got it all figured out, I think, most of the time. The only time you ever see him get flustered is through him getting angry at decisions on the pitch. But I mean, I think every manager is guilty of that. But like in tough times, the manager or a manager or a leader is supposed to shield, you know, the team. And in times of praise, he takes a step back. And I think Klopp does that extremely well compared to other managers who, Brendan Rodgers, for example, who like bask themselves in glory at every given moment. But yeah, the first 2 minutes of the, I guess what you call it, like the break time in between the end of extra time and penalties, in that time, in the 2 minutes, Klopp had spoken to all of the penalty takers, either given them advice or spoke to them on where they were put in the penalty, had a quick like huddle with the team, like a 15, 30 seconds like motivational thing, whatever he said, I'm not sure, and got the team to stand out in the center circle closest to the dugouts, which I found was really interesting because I never even knew that that was a thing. But of course, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're closer to your bench, you're going to hear them. And in that same time period, Tuchel had been like I don't think he's not like given it thought, but he obviously didn't have his 5 or 6 penalty takers decided on. It looked like he was fumbling around with paper. In that 2 minutes, the players were just taking on drinks or stretching or whatever, and then he was having a huddle with them after 2 minutes. Basically pointing to the people that were taking the penalties and asking them where they were taking it. And then the time was up. And I think that's what separates really good managers from ones that, you know, complete frauds.
Yeah.
Which Tuchel is.
Yeah, it's like, it's fucking hell. Yeah, it's just managing, like, the people and the situation. Like, it's going to be different all the time. But in moments like that, when you're dealing with guys who are fucking like in their early 20s, like they're like kids, you know, and they have 90,000 people like screaming at them, like keeping a calm. That's yeah. Something like I think anyone who's ever led any kind of group, it's that, like, you know, if something goes wrong, keep your calm. You don't lose the plot, because then everyone loses the plot. So you have to be the example. And I think that's what Klopp does really well. He's also, and I'll say this, you might argue, I think he's humble as fuck. I think when they won, like, one of the first things he said in any of the interviews or press conferences I saw was, credit to Chelsea, played really well, made it really difficult for us, must be really tough to go to 2 finals and lose on penalties twice. I'd be like fucking singing and dancing and like ripping off my shirt and everything. It's the first thing he says. So I think he deserves a bit more credit for that side of things as well.
Yeah. I think he's humbled in victory. I don't know if he's that gracious in defeat sometimes. That's the only thing.
Well,
he's probably the biggest whiner in the history of the game.
But like he takes the hit on that. Look, he's a really clever guy. He knows that if he says the wind today fucked us or the pitch wasn't good, he knows that that media will be like, what a fucking arsehole. But you're never talking about the players. You're never saying, God, that player was so shit today. The players are so bad. He deflects all the attention to himself. So, you know, he looks stupid, but actually it's the most clever thing you can do because you're protecting the players who, like I said, are just kids.
Yeah.
He heard that about Ferguson a lot as well. Except I didn't believe it then. I just thought that Ferguson was a big, big fucking clown. And
but I've convinced you now, have I?
And in many ways, you haven't.
But even after the final as well, though, Klopp did say that, he didn't say it directly, but he may as well have said that it's pretty, with all the injuries during the game and how far they were behind City, that the league was perhaps out of their hands. And lo and behold, less than 24 hours later, City go and bottle it. So, you know, maybe he is. Maybe he's Gandalf. Yeah, actually, I think he might be. He just has that way about him. He's the white wizard.
Yeah. I said it last time, and I'm not changing my mind. A treble would be phenomenal. A treble would be absolutely amazing. I'd actually be happy with the double now and the final and pushing City all the way. I think you could consider that a successful season, considering where we were like before Christmas. But if they have most of their players back fit for the final, I just think they're way, way better than Real Madrid. I think Chelsea are way better than Real Madrid, even though, you know, they knocked them out. But I think that was crazy stuff.
City are way better than Real Madrid. Like, yeah. Liverpool are going to slaughter them.
Yeah. If we were playing them in the Bernabeu, I'd be worried. But we're not, so I'm not. I think we'll, destroy them.
Yeah, all this stuff about people saying Madrid, oh, they just have the mentality, they have the pedigree, it's the black magic. No, they've been fucking shocking.
Yeah.
And they've been so lucky. So fucking lucky. Very much like when Man United won the European Cup in 99.
Does that mean I should be worried?
No, I mean, it means that whoever scores the winner in extra time for Liverpool will go on to be a shit manager for Liverpool in like 20 years' time. That's what that means.
That's okay. I'll take that. Yes.
Can you imagine him managing anyone?
Sure. I mean, he's about at the same level as Solskjaer was for United.
That's true. It's true. Any Tom, Dick and Harry off the street, really, isn't it? Yeah.
All Solskjaer did for like 15 years was hang in the goal and stick his foot out occasionally when the ball came towards him. And he couldn't even do that well.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But with Real too, like, they are very, very fortunate. Whatever about Liverpool's running and it being a little bit easier, Real Madrid have gotten through each round by the skin of their teeth. Even PSG needed to like roll over and do a PSG for them to get out of like the round of 16 or whatever it is. So yeah, Liverpool should really be lifting another trophy. But people are saying that it won't be a treble if it doesn't include the league. Can we come to an agreement here that's I've never. I thought the treble was just winning three trophies. I didn't know the league had to be included.
I would say it's a treble, not the treble.
Fair. Mm. Fair.
I mean, they're all a treble, really. I don't know if you can count anything as the treble.
Well, it's like, yeah, the treble is the major domestic cup, the league, and the European Cup.
I think that's a treble.
No, that's the treble.
One of the numerous possible trebles. I mean, you could win the Community Shield, the Super Cup, and the League Cup, and that's a treble. To you, it's the treble that you won. I mean, if you want to count it as the treble that you won, that's fine. That's just
yeah. If you want to consider it the treble,
yeah,
you're more than welcome to. But it's not the treble.
Well, I think if Liverpool win a treble this year, they'll have won the treble because it's the treble that they won this year.
Okay, that's like we can call it the treble you won this year.
No, well, like, look, if I'm going out to my car, I don't say I'm going out to a car. I say I'm going out to the car because it's the car. It's the car I have.
Well, yeah, it is the car.
Yeah, so if you've got a treble, it's the treble. But you won the treble.
No, because if you say you're going out to the car, then everyone else in the room knows what you're talking about. But if you went out of the house and hopped into a different car, mm-hmm. people would be like, what are you doing? It's like, I said I was going out to... It's going out to the car. It's like, no, that's not the car. That's just a car. That's a random car.
But if that was the car I was talking about, then who's in the wrong? You or me?
You for not specifying, since it's an unusual situation.
I think you're in the wrong for assuming you know which car I was talking about.
I mean, if it stands to reason why I would have no reason not to think that you're talking about the car you own.
But I mean, you saw me. You probably would have known I'd be getting into this car because you've seen me win this treble. You've seen me in this car. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Oh.
The debate anyway, is up.
Yeah. Look, it is a treble. I'm going to call it the treble because it's the treble this year. There's no other possible treble that anyone can win. Is there? No. So it's the only treble going.
Mm.
Will Real Madrid win a treble if they win, maybe? I don't know.
No, I don't think
they won the Super Cup.
So the 2022 treble, no, the wait, 2022 the treble is only Liverpool's to win.
The 2022 treble.
We can call it that. That kind of has a ring to it, right?
Fine, we can call it that 2022 treble.
Rolls off the tongue. Because then in 20 years' time, when people are talking about the treble, you'll say, which one? Was it the 99 one? Was it the 2001 one? Or was it the 2022 one? Yeah. I think we'll compromise on that.
No one would ever confuse the 2022 treble with the treble.
Well, you know, it might this discussion might all be redundant, like, eventually, if Liverpool win the quadruple. Because then that would be the quadruple,
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't be a quadruple, right? But you could win a quadruple still, depending on what competitions you were in. So
could you win a quadruple?
Yeah, you win the Club World Cup.
Oh, yeah, okay. If you won the Club World Cup, the League Cup, the FA Cup, and the Europa League, it'd be... Yeah. A quadruple.
Yeah.
But not the quadruple. here's what last one, right? If, for example, in the next 10 years, it's likely enough, a team goes unbeaten in the league.
That ain't that likely.
Will they be an invincible team, or will they be like the Invincibles? Will they be the new Invincibles? Will Arsenal always be the Invincibles just because they were the first team that did it? You know, like, when you say the Invincibles, you know who you're talking about. I think even if City went unbeaten next year, I would never consider that team the Invincibles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, Arsenal got there first with the branding.
That's it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a bit like the Rat Pack, you know?
Arsenal should fucking be copywriting the Invincibles right now. Just in case.
Yeah.
You're copywriting fifth this season anyway.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Potentially.
that fucking Spurs game. What a load of shite. And Spurs getting a soft penalty in the game today.
Yeah, yeah. Now they were peppering the Pope. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't like these penalties, you know. I just don't like when you smash a ball at someone that just because their hand isn't like a pencil by their side that it's a penalty.
Yeah, especially since Arsenal playing Burnley this season, the exact same thing happened and we didn't get a penalty. Yeah. Never mind that.
I have to think back. I think it was this season. I genuinely think it was this season. But if it comes down to it and like Arsenal don't get Champions League by like a point or yeah, something like that, less than a win. I just think back to when James McArthur like booted Sack across mm-hmm. the pitch and got yeah. nothing for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good times. Good fucking well, times.
It seems the board is happy enough with season, even if they don't get top four, because they gave Arteta a new contract like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they're signing players, or they're close to signing new players like Gabriel Jesus and lads. So it seems like they're like, well, if we get top four, great. But if not, it isn't the end of the world.
Yeah,
but it would be fucking shite if they didn't get top four.
Yeah.
If they can still win, if they win their next two games, they'll get top four. And actually, if Spurs could still fuck up. They have one game left to play.
You got Norwich.
Yeah. Unlikely.
It's Arsenal's destiny. You know, they make their own destiny, I think.
I know. And Arsenal have to play fucking Everton, who are fighting for survival now.
I know. It would have been perfect for Palace and for Arsenal if
I know,
had just won today.
If they fucking just won, but they're just they're a clown show. Like, they don't know what they're at.
We'll pick that back up later, because I've got lots to say about Lampard.
Yeah, and we'll do our best. We'll put him under pressure. The game is about being effective, being aggressive, winning the ball.
Cool. Well, I wanted to say one thing, and it's football related, but we might have things we can talk about from it. But do you know, I don't think in any of the years that we've recorded together in whatever combination as a podcast, we've ever really spoken about Man City, really. If we have, it's been about Pep Guardiola, or it's been about that season, you know, the really good season they had where it was like 100 plus points, whatever it was, when they just had a phenomenal year without any competition. And like they're favourites now to go on and win another league. But I just can't bring myself to care. It's just not interesting. It's like a formality, and it brings me no joy. Does anyone feel the same?
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. And I suppose we should appreciate the football they play and the players they have. And like, maybe we should be like, we are witnessing one of the best teams that's ever been and probably ever will be. But I just think it should be assumed that they win everything. Like we've said it before, they've got probably the best manager, the best squad, most resources, best facilities. Like on paper, they should win everything. So of course people are going to be excited when they don't. And I know it was Pep that said like everyone is supporting Liverpool. That's because Liverpool are the underdogs. I mean, every other team is the underdog against them. PSG would be the underdog against them, even though they're owned by fucking, you know, they've got billions and billions to spend. So, yes, they play good football. Pep is a great manager. They've got great players. De Bruyne is probably one of the best players that's ever played in the Premier League. Yeah, of course we can enjoy it, but, I mean, why should we celebrate them winning anything? Is that too harsh? I mean, I think it's more interesting that they haven't won the Champions League. Mm-hmm. I think that is the big thing for them. And we said a few weeks ago, if Pep doesn't win the Champions League with this team, it'll be a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Many people consider him a failure already.
including three people on this podcast and many others in the world and Australia.
Yeah, even, in many ways, Pep has failed a lot more than he's succeeded.
Like, even if you take away De Bruyne, right? And I'll come back to him. Who's their most likable player?
I just feel sorry for Jesus sometimes. Just for him.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, these are all guys who, like, they all went there for fucking, maybe not just for money, but like, Jack Grealish went there for money. Remember Fabian Delph went there? All that kind of shit. Like, there's no likable players. I think Sterling is a total rat. And even De Bruyne, like, I mean, I say he's likable because he's amazing, but I remember him bitching that he didn't win Player of the Year one season. It's like, I mean, Salah does a bit the same, but that's it. I don't expect anyone who's not a Liverpool fan to like Salah, because I think he is a bit up himself, you know? So they don't have likable players or anything. And
well, that's it. I think initially, I'll pull my hands up. Like, initially when the Aguero moment, you know, when the first won the league, it was quite, you know, it was entertaining. It was refreshing to see, but like, you got to think that moment in time. It was just complete dominance, by United. And I think we're just kind of coming to that stage again where it's nearly complete dominance by another team. So everyone wants to see something different. But at that point too, when it was like, I wouldn't say it was a team that's strung together because they were still like, you know, amazing players. And like, there was like Aguero, David Silva, Yaya Toure, I think was playing into it, like, among others. Like, there were still a few, you know, old Man City players still lingering about, you know, the in-between period. But it's just, yeah, it's just not fun. Like, it's not entertaining. It's just, you expect it. You know, it's like an all-star team playing against everyone else. It's hard to get behind it. And it's hard to cheer it when it's good as well, because it's like, well, you should be doing this. The fact that in the last 5 or 6 years, it's gone down to like fucking goal difference or one win. Maybe Man City aren't as great as they say they should be.
Very true.
Yeah. I mean, they should be running away with the league. I think if they win this one, they've won 6 of the last 10 leagues. Even the fact that they haven't won more than that.
No, it's a testament to Liverpool.
Well, I didn't want to say it. But I think as long as Pep's there, he's won all but 2 seasons. There was the Leicester one, was it? No, Chelsea and then Liverpool. I think that's it. So, of course, it's fucking boring. It's like who cares when Celtic wins the league?
Yeah,
in Scotland. It's assumed. It's just interesting if they don't win the league.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, yeah, it's the same people that like clap the Queen and shit. It's like, good job. Well done. On your fucking butt.
God almighty.
Yeah. The Queen thing is stupid.
Yeah. But look, it's the same vibes, you know. It's like, oh my God, they're great. It's like, they fucking should be.
Look, I'm happy for the OG Man City supporters, but I have no doubt that they have so many people turning up there with Man City jerseys who have only started following them in the last 5 or 6 years. No doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other side of things now, isn't it?
I mean, if you're in Manchester and, you know, your team isn't doing well, just go across to the other stadium. Put on some blue. Keep winning.
I'm sure a lot of people do that.
Oh, absolutely. Keep those flames licking high.
Sure, we know a few.
Well, I mean people in Manchester. look.
Yeah,
people we're talking about have never been to Manchester.
No. Most they've been to Manchester is a man.
men's chest hair.
Yes. Got him. Yeah, okay. I'm glad we agree on that, because yeah, it's a bit boring. Like, and I don't think they should be celebrated. I do think we should be celebrating teams like Palace, Liverpool and Arsenal more for their greater achievements.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. But it's all going down to the final day. I think we've been truly lucky this year. Or, yeah, football has been rough. I mean, even when we look back at like the kind of COVID seasons and stuff too, there was a bit of excitement around those. But I don't think the football was as good as what we're seeing now. The fact that the title, Champions League, Europa League, and 10th spot, and the relegation places or place is going down to the last day.
Mm.
What a treat.
Yeah, it's hard to believe this is still a COVID season as well. Sure, only a few months ago, games getting cancelled because of COVID, left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
Players being out for 2 weeks because, oh, well, they just have a positive test, and you just be like, okay.
Yeah. People like Brendan Rodgers bending the rules to their advantage. You know, the Leicester-Norwich game that was a few days ago, that was supposed to be played originally on January 1st. Is that mad to think?
Mm.
Yeah. But it's made a kind of... I know it's not good and it shouldn't have happened, but it has made it kind of exciting, even from a fantasy football perspective, the fucking crazy scores and the double game weeks and things. It just gives it that extra little bit of a spice. No. You don't
Not
agree.
Really, no.
Well, for me, double game weeks have been very entertaining, especially in this last quarter of the draft that we're doing. I'll turn your attention to Exhibit 1, the current table.
Oh, yeah. You knocked Tommy Boy off his perch.
Tommy's in for a rude awakening.
Mad at Tom dropped off the top spot after Salah stopped scoring every week.
Who would have called it?
Didn't work out for him. Crazy bit of business. Yeah. No, but look, back to the season. I think it's been a really good season so far. Hopefully it ends a little bit better. But I don't know. I hope next season is as good. I think a lot of it was United being so utterly shit as well. Like, there was... It really left a sour taste in some mouths, but it really sweetened it for me. Just seeing them struggle every single week. Like, they've nearly become irrelevant. Did they lose their last game? I haven't a clue.
They've won one in the last five games.
Was their last game Brighton?
The last game was Brighton, yeah.
And then funny. Yeah.
The next game is Palace.
Oh my God. And so many people were tipping them for top three, top four, minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, our next time recording will probably be in and around the Champions League final. But I had a quick listen back to our first... Do you know, the first podcast we did prior to the season starting.
Mm-hmm.
And oh boy, how nailed we've had this season, I will say.
Really?
Yeah, well, we went completely against, you know, the popular opinions. Everyone was saying United were going to just, you know, they were back. And three brave men took a stand. We took a stand against... We're basically football humanitarians fighting unjust and erroneous comments. And yeah, we basically said United wouldn't make Champions League, and we said that Arsenal would. So yeah, win tomorrow, please, Flynn.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Thanks, Flynn. Play a 3-5-2. Stun Eddie Howe into defeat.
And we were pretty close with the relegation as well, weren't we?
You were spot on.
We said Norwich, Watford. I think we all agreed Norwich, all agreed Watford. And then we were saying, I think I said Leeds, someone else said Burnley, someone else said Newcastle. They were all
I might have said Palace.
Oh, yeah, you probably did.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, Finn. because next podcast I will be speaking in depth. I might just do a separate one myself on all of the comments I read and heard from various people about how Vieira would be sacked by November and Palace would be relegated, because I'll show you Exhibit 2, the league table. We're very much not relegated. But you were right. You were right to say it. Very astute.
Very astute, yeah.
I mean, at the time, it was bang on, but miracles do happen.
It is exciting down there currently. I mean, by the time this comes out, things might be different, but it is currently Burnley in 18th. But Leeds have one game more played and they're only a point ahead. And then Everton are 16th, but they also have a game a hand on Leeds, who are just below them. So it's those three are in danger, but fucking... I don't even know who Leeds have left to play. Yeah, 2 seconds.
I'm not editing this.
Leeds have Brentford, so we'll probably lose that. Brentford away. Careful.
Yeah, look, I think Leeds deserve to be relegated. They might not, but I think they deserve it. I think that they were entertaining last season, mm-hmm. but it was all just, you know, a fad.
Do you think they'd have been relegated with Bielsa?
Absolutely. There's no difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Really shows what Bamford did for them last season, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, back to the championship you go, Patrick.
Good luck. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see them anymore. Like, I think we spoke about this before. Just sick Burnley. Like, there's nothing good for him. The only good thing for Burnley was Sean Dyche, and he's no longer there. So, but it would be nice to see Burnley relegated so that Sean Dyche has some, I don't know, vengeance.
Yeah, they've because Newcastle. I could see that just being a fucking nil all. Like,
yeah, they weren't bad. We're
staying up. Let's just, yeah.
Sad times, but hey, Frank Lampard, miracle worker. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Red cards can't hold him down.
I don't even know what side of the fence I'm on with Frank Lampard anymore. I think I'm still publicly in his favor, but behind closed doors, I think he's rubbish.
Behind closed doors.
I just tell Sonia all the time how shit I think Lampard is.
Like, who the fuck is Frank? I bet he's thinking about Frank again.
Yeah. Look, it looks like they'll stay up. It does. Things would have to go quite wrong for them at this point. So he's done a good job. We had all written him off, except for maybe Kieran. I don't know.
Yeah, I have never wavered in my support.
You backed the right man.
I did. I put my money where my mouth was.
We got to go back and find all the proof that we fucking backed Klopp. We backed Frank Lampard. Who was the other one we backed? I don't even know.
Rodgers.
No.
Too cool. We got that one nailed. Flynn obviously
nailed us.
Yeah, you enlightened us, and since then we saw the real way. Was it like it's five or six finals, Wembley finals that Chelsea have lost in a row?
They've lost the last three FA Cup finals.
Yeah.
No, I know he's not to blame for all of them, but he is to blame for...
But he kind of is, though. He just is.
Yeah, definitely two of them.
Yeah. So we got that one right. Jorginho being a wanker, we got that. Right, Ollie got a Solskjaer. I mean, come on, that was the big one. Arteta being fantastic,
yeah. Ralf Rangnick, Vieira, even you were right about that. I'll say Gerrard. I'll say I was right about Gerrard.
Yeah.
Villa safe in 13th. That's all they needed.
Yeah, it's a long way away to think about, but I mean. Looking at some of these mid-table teams right now in the table, you're like, as much as I love Vieira, like, you can all go tits up for Palace next season. could all go tits up for Gerrard. It will go tits up for Brendan Rodgers again. You know, Southampton are early favourites for relegation, I feel. Just by default, by their manager. Yeah. Exciting season next season, I feel.
Yeah.
I think the next podcast will be a big one. Because the season will be over and the Champions League will be done. That'll be our season review then, won't it?
It will. It will. Flass. Do we do it in person? Oh, is it safe enough or is it viable? Is it feasible?
Maybe. It'll just sound like shit.
Did the last one sound bad? I can't remember. It's been so long.
We all have headsets.
It's just the microphone, isn't it?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. But it will. It's probably going to be around the time of the Champions League final.
Champions League final is exactly 2 weeks from yesterday. So.
And if you're listening on a Thursday, that means nothing. But.
But
it will be a biggie. Premier League will be decided. Champions League will be decided. Frank Lampard will be ascending, obviously.
Liverpool will be winners of the 2022 treble.
the 2022 treble. Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. And we're going to watch the game together as well. So we'll report back on our shenanigans, I guess.
I'll have to have some good hot takes. I had some hot takes for today, but to be honest, they're shite, and I'll save them for a shit podcast.
Oh, good. So you like this one, then? That's great.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I won't sour this one with bad would you rathers. Or not would you rathers. Why are they hot takes?
Definitely sour it with a few would you rathers.
I don't have any.
Oh, that's cool. Another day. That's cool. Have we come to a natural conclusion?
Yeah, a natural cadence.
Yeah, yeah. It's been nice. Somber end to a manic podcast.
Yes.
I hope you kept up.
Yeah, I know. And if you didn't, you can put it on 0.75 speed on YouTube and it will slow it down for you.
Excellent.
All right. Yes. Well, who knows? By the time we speak next or listen next, Liverpool might be quadruplists. Wouldn't that be a fine
quadruplist?
A quadruplist, yeah. Mm-hmm. Klopp is a serial quadruplist.
Yeah. You'll never walk alone.
Mentality quadruplist. All right. Up the fucking palace.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.